brought 3,000 souls. Now, the fill-in scripture to that is Acts 2:41. The first sermon preached presented 3,000 people joining the first century church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So then when they received the word and were baptized, they were added that day. 3,000 souls. And you know, that sermon was kicking. Peter was stepping on toes big time. Basically, he was saying, all you heathens are going to hell. You killed him. Peter was making accusations, talking bad, and all them folk was pricked in their heart. Did you know what? Most of the time when you go to church, people don't touch sin. And look, praise God. Somebody told me, they said, you know what, John, I'm tired of having these little fights against individual peoples in church, man. The only thing that a Christian is supposed to be fighting in the church is his own foolishness and proclaiming this word. Did you know that if you fought your own foolishness and left all these other fools alone, that God will multiply this ministry? I'm not going out here trying to take out another ministry. I'm fighting the foolishness in my own life. You know what I had to do today? I see my health is going down, so I said, now wait a minute, that treadmill ain't working. I had to go out and buy me one of them bikes, and I told Mark I'm going to start hitting that beach riding path now. See, now I'm going to be on that bike, riding that bike out there, see, because I got to ride. I got to work it, because the older I get, this old ticker gets messed up. And the doctor said, well, now when that happens, you got to do more exercise. So now I got to hit them streets on that bike. You know what that's for? That is for the fight. Because the fight is more important than anything else. View your Christianity like that. View your Christianity and so that you can be strong enough, stabilized enough to pass this back to the man that just came in. Thank you, Timothy. All right. Keep the fight going strong. Now, 3,000 souls were added. They experienced real blessings and happiness in their families, in their villages, and in their towns. Look at Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 34. Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 34. No, we didn't read those yet. Let's see what the church... Well, this one we're on B. This is still B. 16, 11 through 34. Now check this out. This is the way it reads. Therefore, putting out to sea at Troas, we ran straight a course to Samothrace, and on the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which was a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, when we went outside of the gate of the riverside to pray, there was supposing to be a place of prayer made. We sat down and began speaking to the women who were assembled. And a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, meaning that she was a businesswoman. She had money. And it says, a worshiper of God was listening. Now you notice this woman was listening. Ladies, this is a clear indication of how women in the church always were. Was listening, and look what happened. The Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. In other words, she insisted that the missionary team stay at her house, and her servants would take care of them, and she would take care of their lodging. And it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl, let me see, because I'm supposed to go down to what verse? Yeah, 34. A certain slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Now, the reason that I have all of these verses is because you have to see what the church did. The church met in the house. The church grew in the house. The church multiplied. And the first thing that God did was let the church see somebody full of a demon. I don't know exactly what we would be doing.
We would give the demon a name. You see, girl, you got the spirit demon of divinity. Nope, let's see, right. Let's see what the church did. And it happened as we were going to the place.
She kept crying out. In other words, the demon had this young woman, kept crying out saying, These men are the bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Now, it appears that this message is right, but you people need to pay very close attention. The devil is always claiming to be speaking what's right, but you got to see what's behind this chick screaming these so-called right words out.
And look at verse 18, and she continued doing this for many days. In other words, she came while they were having prayer, and every time they had prayer meeting, these men are proclaiming open. You know, like that lady that came to church that Sunday, I was preaching, and the lady said, oh, praise God, hallelujah, I know you're right about it. I looked at her, and I said, yes, she won't be here again. See, I knew what she was. I thought about this text. Check it out.
She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed. Now, you got to say, why didn't Paul say, well, praise God, she knows I'm a right preacher. This is a good sister in the Lord. No, Paul was annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit. Now, you notice Paul's not speaking to her because she's completely out of her mind. He's speaking to the Spirit in her and says, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. See, what we're doing, we're around here trying to mess with the people. What I want you to do as Christians is forget the human being that's acting a fool. Look at the thing in it. See, that's what I had to deal with. I had to deal with that Sunday night. I'm somewhere looking at some stuff. I said, oh, I know what I'm looking at here. I know what I'm looking at. Man told me, I can't give you that information. I look right at him. Man told me what he couldn't give me. I can't give you that information. I looked at it. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Y'all don't know me because I'm saying, Lord. And the man went to another room and came back and gave the information written down. I said, thank you and God bless you. We was leaving and the person said, why didn't he give me that? I said, do you know what you're doing? Do you know who you have with you? Look, this is spiritual warfare. Whenever you walk into a situation, you've got to know exactly where you are and what's going on. These fools are talking, have demons talking to them, and when they talk to a man of God, I just say, what did you say to me? Preacher was talking to me, and he said he was going to bring a well-known preacher by my office so that I could minister to him. I said, who are you bringing by my office? I said, you're not bringing him by my office. I'm a well-known Kojic preacher. You know him. I said, you're not bringing him by my office. I can't help him. This fool is lost. How do you know he's lost? I said something, and he said, oh, my God, John. I was with the man 24 hours ago, and you mentioned what he said to me 2 hours, and you weren't there. I said, of course I wasn't there. I know what he is. See, friends, when you're really a Christian, you know what you're looking at, and you know that it's a different world out there. Paul knew what he was looking at when this so-called Houdini was talking to him, and he had to deal with it. Now, look what happened. Verse 19. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, because Christ came in after Paul looked at her right and spoke right to her and cleaned her mess up, they seized Paul and Silas. This is the real church. They took the pastors, dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities, and when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, these men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews. First thing that they try to do is make them a bunch of racists. You know, you can brought these racists, no, it's no confusion. Then it says they are proclaiming customs which are not lawful for us to accept or to observe being Romans. In other words, messed up our prophet. Now this girl ain't full of this mess no more because he spoke the mess out. And the crowd rose up together to them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. This is the church. That's why when I go somewhere and I tell people, you see, this young man, I said, no, man, you can't go with me because, see, what I'm going to do, you ain't never seen that before. And I'm going to turn the whole thing around, and they're going to look at me, and they still don't know what. Got a phone call the next day, and somebody said hello, and I said, now all you need to do is praise God, because that's where it always happens. It's spiritual warfare. And check it out. You don't see the church meeting, fasting, praying, begging, naming and claiming, anything. They're just doing it. That's what the first century church did. They did it. So all this mess, we got to meet and pray and fast, and we got to wait on the Lord. No, you don't. You have power now, actualizing that power. But you see, whenever you find people doing that kind of stuff, they're trying to put a hoodoo number on you. You can read the rest of the verses yourself because I have so much to cover here. You can see right here that there are blessings that comes on the church when it is done appropriately. Now see, Alphonse, many were added to their number as found in the book. Of course, the scriptures there are Acts 5:14, and I think we already went there. Acts 5:14, but we do want to look at that verse. Because see, God is adding them to the number here. Acts chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, constantly added to the number." 6:1, we've already went over that again. It says, "Now at that time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews." In other words, while the church was growing, troublemakers started. Whenever a membership grows, you're going to find somebody in the church starting trouble. It's got to happen. Always going to be some troublemakers. Look for it in Anselm. Anselm can grow to 200 or 300 folk. Somebody, let's say, you know, Alphonse been here from the beginning. And Alphonse, and I'm just using you as an example. And Alphonse said, "Man, he's all these people coming here, and John using him instead of me. Trouble starting here, man. What's the matter with Alphonse? We still love that brother. How come you feel like he ain't loved? Well, why are you using his stuff and not mine? Because yours is rotten." That's all. You can't do that better than them. Trouble rose in the church whenever the church grows. Acts 9:31, we see the same principle taking place. I'm repeating the verses, but it's good for you to know them. "So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up, going on in the fear of the Lord. The comfort of the Holy Ghost continued to increase." Man, as the church grows, the Holy Spirit will comfort you. But you know what? You got to be willing, like Paul and Silas, to get your head whipped for telling the truth. See, that's why I got to come on the radio and name the Big Six Friday night. Like I said, these folk ain't doing church right. Boom, 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 boom. Now I got to, oh, and guess what? My staff going to do the same thing, or they ain't coming in that booth with me. Amen. They ain't coming in there. Amen. Let's talk about what they're doing wrong to protect the body of Christ. That's going to get a Paul and Silas head whipping put. But every time I do it, when everything happens to me, God says, "I'm going to redeem you because you're doing what I told the first century church to do." You guys got to realize that. That is what he told the first century church to do. We must do it. Acts 21 and 20. That's another scripture you can put down under C. Acts 21 and 20 reads like this. It says, "And when they heard this, they began glorifying God, and they said, 'See, my brother, how many thousands are amongst the Jews of those who have believed and all are zealous for the law.'" Man, once you look at this text of scripture, you can see, man, when you're bold with Christ like this, you have thousands believing it. But it begins with a small group of individuals that believe it. I hope God sends a Pentecost on this place. You know what I was reading? I don't know whether you read the Wave newspaper. Jared Fellows is the editor-in-chief of the South Central Wave newspaper. Jared and I used to write some Christian articles a number of years ago, and he wrote this great article on the new millennial coming. And he was talking about how a lot of people are looking for a lot of crazy things to take place and stuff like that. I think Jared ended up his article. He said, whether crazy things happen or not, he said, you are gifted people. And he put it this way, his whole article was this: very few people have lived to see a new millennium come in. Very few lifetimes people will say, "I live to see a new millennium arrive." We're very blessed people if we're still alive on January 1st, 2000. You think about that. January 1st, 1900. Is anybody still alive? They're all dead. Now, wait a minute. I shouldn't have said, I said 1,000 years ago, I should have said. Yeah, I should have said 1,000 years ago.
That's not. Thing in 1900, you can find a couple of them.
Yes, sir. It was 1,000, not 100 years ago. 1,000 years ago. You're not going to find anybody that was here 1,000 years ago. You're not going to find that. See, no, you're not going to find that. They're all dead. They're all dust. Now think about this. 1,000 years from now, we're going to all be dust, and nobody's even going to remember Hillcrest Boulevard. 1,000 years from now. 1,000 years from now, this city won't even be here. Now you think about that, people. And we have such a tremendous opportunity to live for Christ. In 1,000 years, none of this is going to be here. The United States isn't even going to be here. And I'd love to see what this mess is going to be. It'll probably be Las Vegas from coast to coast. They won't call it the United States. It's just going to be lost wages. Everybody in the world is going to come to America to lose its wages. It's going to be a big, fun place. Disneyland. So, Acts strongly underscores the fact of numerical growth. That's what I just took you through. While Luke did not worship numbers, he certainly did not ignore the numbers. That's why he speaks about the numbers. It's important for you to know that numbers are important. Those big six names that I had up there, it's important that the church grows. But you have to be careful the kinds of numbers that you have. So there's some questions to consider. While the church of the past depended upon witnessing to get the church to grow, what do many people in this modern church depend upon to get the church to grow? See, in the past, they witnessed Paul and Silas getting beaten up. The church telling the truth is what made the church grow 2,000 years ago. What do we use to make the church grow today? Well, Denzel Washington goes to this church. And that is, man, and did you know that when you think of it, that is one of the most disgusting things that you can ever think of? That you're going to a church to see a human being. Well, the fill-in is right here. The church within the modern day believes in and depends upon biological growth instead of growth by conversion. See, biologically, the church today is, they're saying, we need more people in here. I'm going to tell you, man, when you got, and you guys just better put it right in front of you the way it is, and it's important to have money, but when you got a $5 million note, you better start selling some plaques on the wall or something for them people for $50,000, because, man, I'm going to tell you, I don't think that Jesus ever meant for there to be a $5 million church in the city of Los Angeles. I doubt that seriously. And so all he's thinking about now is this biological growth. You know what he's saying? Blake is saying we need heads. And we're going to do whatever them heads want us to do in order to get them heads here so we can get this. Because I am building a name for me.
I think I meant 50 million, not 5 million. In doing Bible studies, I get carried away, don't I?
And it's important that I'm bigger than this guy, Price, down there in that dome. And Noel and McClinton, they got all our young people now, but we're going to get the money, folk. And so that's why we got to get Gladys Knight and the pimps and all the rest of them in here, and all those kind of folk, because it's money. Yes.
Part of his name is to become the Bishop of
God. Absolutely. And there's a war going on within the Kojig denomination for that right now. That's why, Oh, yeah. Well, he'll get it once he builds this. Yes.
And the study went on and the study went on.
But that cathedral.
My Bible studies are far larger than an hour. That Bible study went on. My Bible studies are about 90 minutes. And about an hour and a half, and the discussion went on as we ended up the outline. I'm so glad that you can join us for this hour, this abridged section here, as we look at what real church growth is all about. Real church growth is not about having a bunch of entertainment and a bunch of movie stars in there with you. It's not about that. Never has been about that. Never will be about that. This particular Bible study was recorded just so that you can have some kind of an idea of what we're looking at in time. This was recorded in October of 1999. That's before the new millennium. October 1999 is when this Bible study was first given at the Anselm Bible Fellowship. That's when we were located down on Hillcrest Boulevard in Inglewood, California, Church Grove. And since that time, Betrayal, one of the pastors there, you know, didn't like what was going on. He wanted to have an anniversary in the Episcopal setup. And you noted I said Anselm Episcopal Bible Church. We were looking at the Episcopal form of government because there, you know, there were going to be bishops that were leading in the church. You know, we believe in elder rule there. And I like that form of church government. But you know what? I've come to realize that you can just knock off all forms of everything and just be a Bible church. And if people don't want to go along with the Bible, I just ask them to remove themselves. And if they don't, I remove them. Simple as that. I just say, you know what? Don't even want to have a discussion with you about what you think you know or you believe. Is that a little bit too harsh for you? Well, that's the way the underground church operates now. Here we are in the year 2008 at the time this is made. Goodness knows. We are in far more worse shape than we were back in October of 1999. Wow. Just 9 years ago. And look how far we've moved. They build their mega churches. The mega church syndrome is what all these guys are into now. We have no money. The economy is shot. We're living in dangerous times. And guess what? They're in a rush now. They've made their pastors, co-pastors, their wives, co-pastors with them. The female abomination church is ruling the day. As for me, I'm still here saying, it's well with my soul. Thank you for joining me for the Bible study.